shortly we are going to begin saying the same Tal Umatar Livrecha, and I thought it was a good opportunity for us to think once again about this insertion into the Shemona Esrei. Next week what we're going to speak about is the Shaila that many, many people have asked, and that is with regard to Thanksgiving. Many people go to Eretz Yisrael, and they are obviously running a different calendar than we are with regard to V'sein Tal Umatar Livrecha. And many people ask the relevant question, what do we do when we are Americans and we're going to visit Eretz Yisrael, or people from Eretz Yisrael who are coming to visit us here in this middle ground when different communities are doing different things. So let's start this evening with our discussion in general about V'sein Tal Umatar Livrecha. As we know, when you look through the Shemona Esrei, there are two different times when we mention Geshem, when we mention rain during the Shemona Esrei. The first time we refer to it as Mashiva Ruach Amarad HaGeshem, and the Gemara calls that Gevuros Geshamim. The Ritva asks, why is it called Gevuros Geshamim? What shows the power of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the rain? So he says, based on a Gemara, that the Gemara says there are three different jobs in the world that were not handed over to a Shaliach. The Ribbono Shel Olam does it by himself. And one of those is the rain. I remember when I was in the White Shul, Rabbi Feiner once spoke right after Sukkot about Mashiva Ruach, because that's when we started to say it. And he made mention of the fact that before Queen Elizabeth was coronated, they did a scientific study to make sure, I'm sure you've heard this before, to try to figure out what day is the least likely that it's going to rain in order that they should have a beautiful ceremony for her accepting the queenship. And after all the research, they figured out whatever day it was is the least likely from all the previous history in England. And it turned out that on that day, it was pouring cats and dogs. And he said that the Ribbono Shel Olam did it to show, you think that you are the one who's in charge, you think you're the king, you think you're the queen, and the Ribbono Shel Olam shows, I'm the one who runs the weather, I am the one who decides whether it's going to rain, or perhaps it will not. And that is what we say, writes the Ritva, when we refer to it as Gevuros Geshamim. It shows the Gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shows that he has the power to do whatever he wants. Why is it that we say Mashiva Ruach, particularly in the Bracha of Tchias HaMesim? Why do we say it in Mechaya HaMesim? So the Ritva and other Rishonim explain, the reason why is because this is very similar to the mason in some way. He says, we believe that a mace that has no life anymore, a mace that is under, buried into the ground, at some point is going to sprout forth once again and become a living and breathing human being. And the same is true when we have plants, when we have vegetation. You have a seed that's planted into the ground, it seems that life is over, it seems there's no hope for that seed at all, and suddenly out of nowhere, because of the rain, it sprouts forth and it grows into a tree, it grows into a plant. And therefore, writes the Ritva, that's why we particularly choose to mention Gevuros Geshamim, to mention Mashiva Ruach, in the Bracha of Tchias HaMesim, because in some way it is connected to the Tchias HaMesim. So that is with regard to the insertion that we begin to say on Shmini Atzeres. However, we have the second insertion, which is She'ela B'Birchas Hashanim. When we say the same Tal Umatar Livrecha, that is something that is said as well as a mention to the fact that we need rain. Now, as we know, there's a major discrepancy between when we start saying Mashiva Ruach and when we start to say V'sein Tal Umatar. Mashiva Ruach we begin to say on Shmini Atzeres. V'sein Tal Umatar in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, we only begin to say it on Zayin Cheshvan, on the seventh day of Cheshvan. And the question is, why? Why don't we start saying it immediately after Sukkot, the same way when you recite Mashiva Ruach, it starts after Sukkot. We should say it as well when it comes to V'sein Tal Umatar. The Mishnah in Maseches Tainis asked this question, and the Mishnah answers, you're right. Really, we should have begun to say it immediately after Sukkot when we say Mashiva Ruach. We should say V'sein Tal Umatar. However, says the Mishnah Maseches Tainis, that Rabbi Gamliel was concerned. You're going to have people who are Ola Regel, and they take off 2 weeks of work to go and travel all the way to Yerushalayim, and now, on their way home, you're going to start davening the same Tal Umatar Livrecha right after Sukkot. These poor people who came all the way from out in the sticks in Eretz Yisrael somewhere, they're going to be still traveling on their way home. And now they're going to get soaked. Now they're going to get stuck in the roads, and there's going to be muddy roadways, and they're not going to be able to travel home. Can you imagine? How unfair is that? If that's what they were going to have to deal with on their way home from Aliyah LeRegel. And therefore, says the Gemara, because of this consideration, therefore we say that we are not going to daven for V'sein Tal Umatar Livrecha until 2 weeks after Simchas Torah is over. Why? Because we want to make sure that the last people who came to be Aliyah LeRegel are going to have an opportunity to make it all the way home without having to worry about the rain. Now the assumption is, when you start davening for the rain actually comes. That's the assumption the Gemara makes, which is an astounding assumption. that we assume that our tefillos are so powerful that immediately once we start to change from the same bracha to the same talamater, heavens are going to open up and then people are going to get stuck on the way home. But that's what the Gemara says. Now, I think one of the more recent Achronim asked, if that's true, why don't we also stop saying the same talamater 2 weeks before Pesach? So that this way the people who are traveling from 2 weeks worth travel away shouldn't have to worry about the rain either on their way up. It's a good question. An interesting question. I don't know what the answer is, but it's an interesting question to consider. Anyway, the question is that today, when we don't have the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel anymore, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so how do you explain why in Eretz Yisrael they wait until Zayin Cheshvan nowadays? The whole reason why the Gemara says we wait 2 weeks is because those who are Aliyah L'Regel, it would be unfair if we started to daven for the rain and then they're going to have to deal with the difficult conditions getting home. But today, when we don't have the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, why would we be concerned? And if we're not concerned, why don't we start to say the same Talamutter in Eretz Yisrael immediately after Simchas Torah is over? And the answer to this question is found in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes the Ran. As we know, in the days of the Rishonim, they already didn't have a Beis HaMikdash. Nobody was being Aliyah L'Regel. And the question that the Ran asks is, if the Gemara says we wait 2 weeks because of Aliyah L'Regel, how come nowadays we don't begin immediately after Sukkot because Aliyah L'Regel doesn't apply? Writes the Beis Yosef in the name of the Ran. Still, even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was a practice in Jewish communities all over the country that they would all come to visit Yerushalayim even without a Beis HaMikdash. They would do a imitation Aliyah L'Regel. And therefore he says, because we have this minhag, because we know that people used to go out of their way to travel up to Yerushalayim even after the days of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we need to still be sensitive to their needs, and therefore we are not allowed to daven for Tal Umatar until the last people who come up to Yerushalayim have already left, have already gone home, and now there's nothing to be concerned about. Sounds very nice, sounds very reasonable, however, there's still a problem, because nowadays, with our new modes of transportation that we have today, even if you follow the practice that the Ran mentions, that you come to Eretz Yisrael to visit, and even if it means you come all the way from Australia or New Zealand or wherever it might be, nowadays, with our airplanes or however else you're going to get there, it doesn't take anybody in the world 2 weeks to get home, even if they come to be Aliyah L'Regel in Yerushalayim when there's no Beis HaMikdash. So today, maybe we should give 2 days. What's the furthest place on the planet from Yerushalayim? I don't know exactly where it is. Anybody know? I don't know my geography well enough. But imagine wherever that place might be, how long can it possibly take a person? A 15-hour flight, an 18-hour flight, that's the longest with the stopover, so it takes 24 hours, 36 hours maximum, so give 3 days leeway after Sukkot is over, and then, nowadays, we should begin to say the same Talamatar in Eretz Yisrael, immediately after Yantiv, once the last people from the other corner of the globe have gotten home from there, coming to visit Yerushalayim, so then we should start to daven for the rain. Why don't we do that? This question is not mine. This question is also the Ran's question. And the Ran answers that if you look carefully back in the Gemara Maseches Tainis, the Gemara says there are two reasons why we wait 2 weeks until we daven for the rain. Reason number one, which is the more famous and popular reason, is what we said. Because we have this consideration of the Olei Regel, and therefore we don't want them to be stuck with all the rain that we're davening for. Reason number two, says the Gemara, is because of the poor farmers. The farmers have just started to plant the seeds in the ground. If there's going to suddenly be big flooding all over the fields, all over everything that they've planted, they're going to drown and the season is going to be destroyed and it's going to ruin everything that they worked so hard to create. You need to give a 2 week buffer zone in order for all of the seeds to take root, liklod hazera, and therefore says the Gemara, that's why we refrain from starting to daven for the rain until after we know that all of the seeds are in the ground and all of them have already begun to take root. And therefore, says the Ran, since that is the case, that would apply even bizman hazeh. That would apply even today where we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, where people are not being Aliyah L'Regel, unfortunately, where people aren't even visiting Yerushalayim today on Yom Tov, and when we have modes of transportation that can get us anywhere in the world within just a few hours, still, we would say the din still applies that we do not begin to ask for the rain until 2 weeks after Sukkot is over. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, I forgot to put it on here, but the Shulchan Aruch writes, Afilu bizman hazeh, even today, quoting the Ran, that even today when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and we have none of these considerations, we still have to make sure to wait until Tesvav Yom after Chag HaSukkos. We have to wait until 15 days after Sukkos in order to make sure that all of the seeds have taken root. Now, this is all with regard to when we begin to say it in Eretz Yisrael. But unfortunately, all of us who are here now do not live in Eretz Yisrael. And we know that we don't start to say it 2 weeks after Sukkos. We wait far longer to begin B'Sein Tal U'Matar. We wait until December 4th or December 5th. My son's birthday is on December 4th. So he thinks B'Sein Tal U'Matar is because of his birthday. He has no idea that it's something other than his birthday. So the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, he looked in the Siddur for the first time. He said, "Daddy, look, it says December 4th. Can you imagine? It says my birthday in Shmona Esrei, every Siddur." So I told him, they're all very excited that you're turning 8. Anyway, the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis that when it comes to Chutz La'aretz, we wait much longer than we would wait in Eretz Yisrael. Let's look at the Gemara in Tainis Daf Yud Amud Aleph. This is number Beis. Amar Rabbi Lezer, Halacha Karav Gamliel, Tanya Chananya Omer Uvagola. When we are in Chutz La'aretz, even though in Eretz Yisrael we wait 2 weeks and then we begin, but when we live in Chutz La'aretz, we wait at Shishim Yom B'Tkufa. We wait until 60 days into the new season. As we know, the season of year is broken into 4 different parts, and each season has its own kind of feeling, its own kind of flavor, and therefore, says the Gemara, we're going to wait until 60 days into the season of Tishrei, and that's when we're going to begin to say V'sein tal u'matar levracha. The Beis Yosef writes that based on his calculation, he writes in the name of the Abu Dram, they did the math, they did the calculation. We know that a year is conventionally assumed to be 365 days and a little. So what happens after every couple of years when you have that little bit that's left over? So you're going to have, the calendar is going to get thrown off at a certain point, right? Because you have 365 and a half days, but if you don't count the half, after every few years you're going to be way off. 13 days off after 120 years, I think it says. So the Beis Yosef writes, based on his calculation, it would seem that we should really begin to say this on the Chav Beis or Chav Gimel in November. You should say it on either the 22nd or the 23rd of November. However, the Beis Yosef says, we all have the practice that we say it on the 4th or the 5th of December, even though it's very difficult to come to that conclusion. How do you really arbitrarily come up with that date? It doesn't really seem to be 60 days after the Tkufa. So that is the psak, that is what we do, and that is the practice in all communities in Chutz La'aretz. Now it just so happens to be that the Gemara here tells us we should follow what we call 60 days after the Tkufa. But the Gemara tells us there are 2 different ways of calculating it, and it just so happens to be that we have adopted the practice which seems to be the wrong calculation. So there was a Shiloh that was sent to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and this is printed in Arachayim Chelek Dalet, and I'd like to read it together here today because I think it's very interesting. My father said he actually knows this person that sent the Shaila to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He said he remembers he was in shul one day in Washington Heights, and somebody turned to him and said, "Did you ever meet an apikoros in your life?" My father said, "I don't know what you're talking about. It's possible." So the guy, the gabbai in shul, points. He says, "That man over there is an apikoros." And my father said, "How do you know? What do you have against him? He seems to be a nice person." He said, "Because Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote in the Tshuva that he's an apikoros." So my father didn't know what he was talking about. And then years later, he realized that what he was talking about was this, that this person, he was a Talmud Chacham, he sent a letter to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he said, "I beg your pardon, but it seems that our calculation for when we should start V'sein Tal U'Matar and Chutz La'aretz seems to be wrong. It just doesn't add up mathematically. Everything is off. And December 4th, 5th really doesn't correspond properly to the way really that the Tkufa turns out to be." And therefore he asked for Moshe, maybe we should reconsider. Maybe in Chutz La'aretz we should reconsider and we should adopt the other opinion in the Gemara, which is really far more accurate than the one that has been accepted. And Rav Moshe goes crazy. Rav Moshe really went crazy at this person. And now in the later editions, they leave out the person's name. It just says Lerav Echad. My father has the earlier editions where it has the guy's name. But they were nice. They took it out of the later edition. So let's see what Rav Moshe says. Be'inyan she'elas tal u'matar mishishim yom achar tekufas Shmuel. This that we count 60 days for starting the V'sein tal u'matar, be'ezras Hashem yud gimel tishrei tafshin mem aleph. I don't know the math. Tafshin mem aleph is what year? Anybody know this quickly offhand? If my father-in-law was here, he would know it. He knows these kinds of things. So he writes his letter l'rav echad. Doesn't identify who he is, and you'll understand why they decided to take the name up. But the original tshuva actually had the person's name, and Rav Moshe goes after him. I just took some of the highlights. Hine aktim tchila kla gadol. First of all, says Rav Moshe, let me tell you the following. Asher kara ledavar hanoagim kol Yisrael bedavar talum matar b'chutz la'aretz. We have a practice that we say talum matar in chutz la'aretz 60 days after the tkufa, which means it turns out to be December 4th, December 5th. That's what it says in all of our Siddurim. And he says, you want to say that this is all a mistake. Shehu shigaga. V'nimtza shekesarosh. He says, it seems that you, my dear friend, choshev, you think, shehu gadol yoser mikol rabbeseinu harishonim achronim. It seems that you believe that you are smarter and you are a greater mathematician than all of the Rishonim and the Achronim put together. Umikol gaon is manenu, and with all the brilliant people of our generation, shekulam shagugu bazet, do you believe that everybody else, until you came along, made this mistake? Nobody ever thought of it? What changed from the days of the Tanaim or Amoraim or Rishonim or Achronim till today? Nothing. So he says, how do you come along and have the chutzpah to say that you think we should change the rule and we should say V'sein Talam Atar on a different day because you think the calculation is wrong? Do you believe that everybody that came before you was also wrong? V'hu ra shehu shigaga. And you see that it's a mistake. V'yimchali, and you will... excuse me, says Rav Moshe. Shehu yehursa yiserta. He says, this is extremely arrogant. This is very arrogant of you to speak this way. Af lachshov kein. Certainly to even think that way. V'kol shekein shelo lomar. V'lichtov kein. You write me a letter. You're not embarrassed to write a letter like this that you think everybody before you made a mistake? How could it be? V'yedan, I want you to know. Ki kol ma shechazinan she'elsim rakahal gadol b'Yisrael. He says, imagine you have a community. You know, I've been asked this question so many times. I've never given an answer, number one, because I don't know the answer, number two, because it's not relevant to me, so I don't really have to deal with it. Many Hasidic communities, not all, but there are many Hasidic communities that daven after what we would consider the proper zman. So many people have wondered, what's the story? How could it be? No Hasid has ever asked me the Shaila, right? So it was never relevant. I never looked into it because... to me, it never mattered. The person who was asking the Shaila is just someone in our community who's curious. I don't know what the answer is, and just for someone's curiosity, I don't have to stand on my head to figure out the answer. What is the answer? I have no idea. But says Rav Moshe, let's say you have a situation like that. I come from a Litvisha family. We don't do these things. The Zman is the Zman. We daven shachris when we're supposed to daven shachris. But there are very legitimate Hasidish communities that follow their Minhagim, and they daven way after the time that we would think is appropriate. So says Rav Moshe, using that as an example, not passing judgment on them, but just using it as an example. Masha chazinan she'osim rakahol gadol b'Yisrael. Let's say you have large Hasidish communities that are doing this practice. Eino davertos, he says, you think it's wrong, right? You can't understand it. How does it make sense that they daven after the Zman? Shavadai nasa al pi chacham, it must have started somewhere in a good place. How can it be that tens of thousands of Hasidim all over the world for hundreds of years have been doing something totally keneged halacha me'achashu kahal, mishomrei Torah mitzvos? We believe that they are God-fearing Jews. We believe that they're not trying to do the wrong thing. So, if you have a community that decides, we're not going to keep Shabbos anymore, okay, that came from somewhere that had no real halachic precedent. But if you have Hasidish communities where the Rebbes themselves, who are Talmidei Chachamim and who are Yirei Shamayim, did this, says Rav Moshe, you got to really figure out where it comes from. You can't just write off a whole community and say, tens of thousands of people are all wrong and they got it wrong and it can't be and it's treif. Can't be, says Rav Moshe. Even if many other communities in the world think it's wrong, says Rav Moshe, if you go to Skver for Shabbos, like I once went, and they're davening Shachris at 10 o'clock in the morning, now to their defense, by the way, they have a 2-hour Seder before Shachris. Let's not forget. You come to Shul in the morning and everybody's sitting and learning for a long time and saying Tehillim and doing wonderful things. Okay, what do they do about the Zman? I don't know. But I, as a person who doesn't follow those Zmanim, had a major problem because there's no other minion in town. In New Square, it's just them. So what was I going to do? So I davened b'yichidus in my room. I had to daven at home b'yichidus, and then I went to shul to hear kriyas haTorah chazar sashatz. What was I going to do? Says Rav Moshe, that's the right thing to do. If you believe that they're wrong and it's one community doing this, but you come from a place where they don't ascribe to this at all, so daven b'yichidus, do what you do, b'tzina. Don't get up in public and say everybody's wrong, because that's not appropriate. However, writes Rav Moshe, that's when you're talking about a minhag that one community has adopted. The Hasidim, that's the way they daven. Okay, so don't get up and say that they're Tohim. Try to figure out the mistake, but you personally shouldn't follow it. However, writes Rav Moshe, Aval Davar Shenagu Kol Yisroel. When you have something that the entire Jewish people has gotten used to doing, then Muchrachim Lasos Kemosam. We all have an obligation as Jews to do what the entire Jewish people are doing. Even somebody who comes along and says, there is nothing that makes sense about this practice. Writes Rav Moshe a very important line. You have to know that the Jewish people are doing the right thing, even if you have a million and one reasons why you think it's wrong. Even though you have no way of understanding it, ain't no klum, doesn't matter, says Rav Moshe. You have an obligation to follow it, even if you personally think it's wrong. That's what he says. And therefore, he ends off, there was a follow-up letter that was sent to this gentleman once again, this Rav, this Talmud Chacham, I don't know who he is. He sent a follow-up letter to Rav Moshe, and then Rav Moshe responded to him again, and he says, V'sulo midi, Rav Moshe writes, let's not discuss this anymore, there's nothing to discuss. De'ein lahar achar zeh af bederach kushya ki yafa nogin. Don't even bring up the issue anymore. Enough is enough. Case closed. We're not going to change the minhag. We start to say the same Talamata December 4th, December 5th. You don't think it makes sense. It doesn't work out with the calendar. It doesn't work out with the seasons. It might just be the case. However, writes Rav Moshe, this is extremely arrogant for you to stand up and think that you were the first person in the history of the world to find this mistake. My father always told me he never understood this response of Rav Moshe. He always told me he had a major problem with it. If the Jewish community got used to doing something the wrong way, perhaps, well then let's reevaluate. It doesn't mean every Jew should go and reevaluate by himself, but get Rav Moshe Feinstein and all the Gedolim of his generation together and let them decide, let them figure out how we're going to reconcile or how we're going to deal with the mistake or how we're going to change it. It's not that every community on their own should decide, but my father said he never really understood what kind of response is this. Basically, Rav Moshe is agreeing that he sees a major mistake here, that he sees a major discrepancy, that he doesn't understand how it fits. And yet we're still going to do it. We live a religion that's supposed to make sense. So my father always told me that he thought this was a very difficult response of Rav Moshe. So anyway, be it as it may, this is the practice. In Eretz Yisrael, they start saying the same Talamater on Zayin Cheshvan. In Chutz Laretz, we start to say the same Talamater on December 4th or December 5th, depending if it's a leap year or not. And even though December 4th, December 5th seems a little bit arbitrary and hard to understand where it came from, that is the minhag in Chutz Laretz, and that is exactly what we do. Question you had? Still have a question? No? Okay. Yeah.
When we say 60 days after
Yeah. Now continue. The Rush raises an extremely important issue, and that's what I'd like to learn through together. The Tour quotes his father, the Rush. Fascinating story that's extremely important for all of us living in Chutz Laretz. And he raises such an obvious question. Let's read the Rush together. Let's see what he says. Vayhi Vishnas Chameshas Alafim Vishivim Vishalosh Libriyas HaOlam. The Rush writes, this was in his generation, Netzru HaGashamim, writes the Rush, there was a terrible drought, we didn't have any rain, V'lo Himtir Kol HaChoref Ela Ma'at Mize'ir. There was very little rain throughout the winter season. V'ikru Tzom L'Hischanein LaHashem, and we decided as a community that we have to make a public fast day because we are in Eis Tzara. Laseis Matar Al Pnei HaAdama, that we have to beg the Ribono Shel Olam to give us rain. V'yihi B'Lel Rishon Shel Pesach, Acharei Tfilas Arvis. The Torah writes, and it was after davening on Pesach. Ah, Adoni Avi HaRash, my father the Rash, Hayayoshev Al Pesach Besa, was sitting by the entrance to his home. V'anachnu Ktsas Mehachaveirim Omdim Alav Mimino Umasmola. We had a whole group of students that was sitting around my father, and we were all talking. V'yomer. And the Rush says, you know, now that you're all here, I have to share something with you that's been bothering me for many years. Ata hayatov la'or hadavar, I'd like to discuss something, asher me'olam tamati alav. I've always had trouble understanding this. And the Rush writes, now I'm going to share with you my problem. Lama lo yazkiru v'yishalu ha'geshem ad shavuos. Why do we stop saying v'sein talamater on Pesach? Where does that come from? Why don't we continue to say it until Shavuos? Vaya'anu k'tzas mehachaverim, and some of the chever that was there responded back to the Rush. You have a good point. In our community, we need the rain until Shavuos. We need the fruits to grow, we need the plants to grow, and that season continues on until Shavuos. So we should continue to ask for Saint Talamater through Shavuos. Why do we stop Pesach? And therefore they told him an idea. Tovhu shetodiyah hadavar l'zkenim v'yasukein. They told the Rosh, why don't you gather in the members of our community and tell them that this year we're going to continue to say Tal Umatar past the time that it says in the Siddur. We're going to say it till Shavuos. V'yashar b'yinayim. So the Rosh summons in the Gabayim. What are they going to say? Of course they agreed to him. The Rosh tells us this is what we should do, so that's what they did. V'yishalchu l'chazan ha-kneses l'hazkir l'machar ha-geshem. Scandalous! The next day, the chazan in the shul of the Rosh gets up in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, and the day after Pesach, he says, V'sein talamater! And everybody's going crazy. Can you imagine? V'yasu kein, v'yaskiru b'nei ha-kneses ha-gedol ha-yud gimomidis v'hi kol ke'chrizu v'hinei Rosh! Miksas ha-chachamim asher hayu lo-haya ha-davar ba'atzosam. There was a group of rabbis sitting in the back of the shul who says, well, what's going on here? This chazan just decides he's going to say V'sein talamater. Do you forget that it's not time for V'sein talamater anymore? Pesach is over. Vayutziu kol lemer, and they put up Pashkevilin, and they said, lo hayroi lazkiru, that was the wrong thing, they were yelling at the chazan. Vayisapek Adoni Avi HaRosh, my father was concerned, now he caused a big community fight. Velo diber b'yom ha'umahuma. Lo diber b'yom ha'umahuma. That's what the Rosh used to do when he had a problem. Tainus diber, I'm not talking to anybody today. You have to think. You have to think, what are we going to do? Aleo cholo shamoi. The Rosh writes a tshuva that night to try and explain why he put forth his position, why he said we should save a saint talamata till Shavuos. V'zeh tarfa. And this is what the Rosh writes. Al ki shamati ki yesh temeim al devar, right? The Rosh writes, in response to those who feel offended by the psak that I gave, v'asi lefarish ma'asha amarti. I would now like to explain what it is that I said. She'ein roi lifsuk mi lahaskir v'lishol ata b'yamtif rishon shal Pesach. V'lo min kadu, he says, I don't understand, why would we stop asking for talumatar on the first day of Pesach? What's that all about? Elam mikvar yamim rabim ba'ashkenaz, he says, for many years here in Germany, nisra amti al shnei dvarim shara'isi shenagim b'yamim halelu. I haven't understood two things. Ha'echa number one, she'ein on sholim hagashamim kitikun. He says, we don't ask the same talumatar properly. Even though the Gemara says in Tainus that you start asking for 60 days after the Tkufa, and we always follow the Psukim that are given by the Talmud Bavli, and here the Gemara says in the Talmud Bavli you're supposed to wait 60 days. However, he says, the Talmud Bavli Chashvinan Iker, he says, it's true that the Talmud Bavli is always the more important one over the Talmud Yerushalmi, but Hani Mili B'davar Isra V'heter V'chiv V'pater V'tumah V'tahara. Writes the Rosh, that's only when you have a disagreement between, is this Tameh, is it Tahara? The Yerushalmi says Kasher, the Bavli says Treif. Says the Rosh, the rule is we follow the Bavli. When we have a Shiloh between a Bavli and a Yerushalmi, we follow the Bavli. However, writes the Rosh, when we have a discussion like this, that in Eretz Yisrael they say one thing that's relevant to their agriculture, that's relevant to their climate, and in Chutz Laaretz and Bavel we say something else, why would we follow the Bavli if it's not relevant to our climate? Why would we follow that? If the Yerushalmi has an opinion that is more mat'im, that is more relevant to our circumstance that we have, shouldn't we do it that way? Aval davar atali b'tzorech hashah. When you have a community that needs rain, ve'ein bo shinu lavar al divrei Torah roi lelech achar hashanim, you have to decide to say talamater whenever it's relevant for that community. He says, in Babel they had tremendous amounts of water surrounding them. And in Babel, because of all the water that they had, the water supply, the natural water supply, they didn't need to daven for the rain because it came anyway. We live in Germany. Why don't we do the same as in Eretz Yisrael? Because we need the rain. Writes the Rosh, I don't understand this. It makes no sense to me. And the Rosh continues and he goes on to say, V'haminig hasheni. Where is that? Haminig hasheni. It's the last word on the line. You see it? 6-7 lines before the end of the paragraph. V'haminig hasheni. Shenogim lifsok mi lishol v'lahaskir b'yamtav rishon shel Pesach. Number one, says the Rosh, why do we wait to start saying it till 60 days after the Tkufa? We need rain immediately in Germany. This date makes no sense. He says it's not relevant to our climate. It's not relevant to our mitzvahs. It's just not correct. And therefore, he says, I don't understand why we would wait. Number two, he says, why would we stop saying it on Pesach? Everybody knows in Germany, everybody knows here that we need rain until Shavuos, and therefore, writes the Rush, I'm at a loss to understand why it is that we do what we do. Why do we start when we start, and why do we end when we end? We should do it based on the natural phenomenon of what we find our country, our community needs here in Germany. That's the problem that the Rush puts forth. Now,
but the Gemara doesn't formulate. I mean, why would the question is not what they're doing, it's why the Gemara.
So he says the Gemara only said that because they were living in Bavel and their circumstances were different. They didn't need the rain. But he says us.
You're saying it's limited to that.
That's what he's arguing. Now, although the Rush makes a very logical and reasonable argument that we should really do it based on the community that you live in, we do not paskin like the Rush. We do not accept the Rush's opinion. Look at the Beis Yosef. And the Beis Yosef is a little bit concerned. Why is it that we don't accept the Rush? So if you look at number above, the Beis Yosef writes, La'anias daiti hayanira, shekiven shelo niskablu divrei harush, v'chal ha'olam lo nagu kein. Nobody adopted the opinion of the Rush, even though the Rush makes a lot of sense. Nobody accepted his opinion. Havelei sugin de'alma deloka harush means, it seems, that we all assume that the Rush is incorrect. And therefore, he says, halacha lamaisa, hatoa v'shol geshamim b'mos hakayitz. If somebody says v'sein talamater after Pesach when they weren't supposed to, tzarech lachzer, you have to go daven again. You should rely on the Rush's opinion that what? That really you should be saying v'sein talamater now anyway, because our community needs rain even after Pesach. No. He says, since the Rush was not accepted, therefore, one would have to repeat Shmona Esrei if they made a mistake and said V'sein Talamater at an inappropriate time of year. However, writes the Beis Yosef, I do have tremendous respect for the Rush, and I am concerned that maybe he's right. I don't know. Nobody's accepted him, but maybe he's right. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, I would suggest that if you make that kind of mistake after Pesach, you say V'sein Talamater when you weren't supposed to say it, writes the Beis Yosef, obviously you have to repeat Shmona Esrei, but he says you should do it as a Tfilas Nedava. Because maybe the Rush is right. And if the Rush is right, means you don't have a right to daven Shmona Esrei again. Because you did it the right way. You did it the proper way. So he says, because I wasn't sure about this, therefore I say that we should be choshish in both directions. You have to daven again, but you should have in mind as you're doing the Shmona Esrei a second time that you're doing it as a tfilas nedava. Look in Shulchan Aruch in number Zion. Shulchan Aruch writes,
as a tenai, or you do
daven as a nedava. That's what he says.
Then
you don't have the chiyuv, if it's a chiyuv. Yeah, I don't know. That's what he says. Look at number Zion. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Echidim atzrichim lamater b'mos hachama. Let's say I live in a community where we have a severe drought. But we're only our own community. Ein shol lamosa b'birchas hashanim, ela b'shamei atfila. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you have to follow the rules that we've made up for the whole world. All people living in Chutz Laretz have to say v'sein talamater at the same time. They start saying it at the same time, and they end v'sein talamater on Pesach. What if you live in a community where you have a severe drought and you need the rain? No problem. Say it in Shomei HaTfilah. The same I am allowed to add in anything in Shomei HaTfilah. I can add in a tefillah that says, the Ribono Shel Olam should give me rain because our community is suffering. And based on that, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, my father quotes that the Rav said in the name of his grandfather Rav Chaim, that throughout the entire year, Rav Chaim in Brisk felt that the Rush really may have been correct, and therefore Rav Chaim every day of the year used to say in his Shmona Esrei, V'sein talamata levracha in shma kolenu. Because Rav Chaim said, maybe the Rush is right. And we live in a community where these timings that we made for when we start saying V'sein talamata when we end really don't match up to anything that's the natural order of what we see happening in front of us. And therefore, the Rav said that Rav Chaim had the minag that he used to say V'sein talamata all year long. Obviously, he didn't say it in Baruch Aleinu because the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't. But he said in shma kolenu, the same way a Jew has a right to add anything into shma kolenu. So he added in that personal private request during Shema Kolenu throughout the entire year. Now, this was a very relevant question that went even further. Let's say you live in a community like New Zealand, or you live in a community like Australia or Uruguay. That's where all the questions were sent from, the other side of the world, where their seasons are backwards from the seasons that we're familiar with. So when we have summer, they have winter. When they have winter, we have summer. So How do you deal with that? All the Rush was describing was, the Rush says, we live at a time where the seasons are the same, just our community happens to need rain a little bit longer than the community in Eretz Yisrael or the community in Bavel, and therefore he thinks we should extend it a little bit further. Okay, what if you live in a community where the season is totally different, where the season is backwards from the season where we are today? Sir Tzvi Pesach Frank has tshuvas about it, and many other gedolim tried to deal with this. They were sent to Shiloh from Australia, sent to Shiloh from New Zealand, and all these countries, all these communities. What do we do? Should we say the same Talamater at a totally different time of year? Should it be flipped from where they say it in Eretz Yisrael, because we are living the season very differently than they're living the seasons, and our plants grow at a very different time of year? This was a major Shiloh that was discussed, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in a tshuva as follows. He says, V'lachein. He gives a whole long discussion, a whole long argument, and he says, V'lachein, and therefore, V'medinas New Zealand, he says, when it comes to this question that came to me from New Zealand, Al tishanu miminag Yisrael b'chol hatfutos acharei sukkos tomru. The same way that the rest of the world starts to say it after sukkos, mashav aruach, so too you should start to say mashav aruach and the same talamater after sukkos. And therefore he says you should stop saying it by Pesach as well. Don't change anything, even though it doesn't correspond at all to anything that you've been doing. And the question is, why? Why should that be so? Why should that be the case? Sir, Rav Kook has a whole response to this, and he tries to figure it out, and he says, well, the answer is that Klal Yisrael are the ones who are koveya when you're going to say the same Talamat or Mashav Ruach, and when perhaps you will not. And Klal Yisrael, the definition of Klal Yisrael means the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, says Rav Kook, quoting a Rambam, that the only people who define themselves as the real Klal Yisrael are the ones who live in Eretz Yisrael. But if you live in Chutz Laaretz, you're not even counted. You don't even come to the equation. Startling statement. Happens to be the Rambam does seem to say such a thing. The Rambam says it in the Pirush HaMishnayos. He says it also in the Mishnah Torah. I'm sorry, in the Sefer HaMitzvos. He says with regard to Kiddush HaChodesh and other things that we assume Klal Yisrael means the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, says Rav Kook, everybody else is insignificant. And therefore, if in Eretz Yisrael the season demands that they say Mashav Ruach and the same Talamater between Pesach and Sukkos, I'm sorry, between Sukkos and Pesach, then that's what we should do all over the world. Even if you live in New Zealand, where the seasons are going to be backwards, where they're going to be flipped, still we should do the same thing. That is the chiddush of... No, that's the question that was raised by Rav Moshe Feinstein, and the question that was raised by the Rush.
If you use this logic...
Yeah. Oh, you're saying we should be doing the same thing. So that's a good question, meaning... Whatever they do in Eretz Yisrael is what we should be doing here. But the Gemara says clearly not so. The Gemara says there are two different times. So you're saying once there are different times, why don't we also just differentiate a little bit further and say different seasons of year also? I don't know. It's a very good question. There's one more point that I'll mention, and then next week we'll continue on about the conflict between Eretz Yisrael and America when you have people going back and forth, and what do you do with that? So there is an issue about how do you finish off the bracha and baruch aleinu? Do you say v'sabeinu mitu vecha? Or v'sab'enu mituva. What does it say in the Yard Scroll Siddur? I think it says both. I think it says some people say this and some people say that, right? I think on the bottom it gives you a notation that some people say both. So the Rosh writes in a tshuva as follows, that when you're davening Shemona Esrei, you should say v'sab'enu mituvecha. Shouldn't say v'sab'enu mituva. Should say v'sab'enu mituvecha. What does it mean, mituvecha? Writes the Rosh, koi al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's asking the Ribbono Shel Olam that we should be able to appreciate and enjoy your goodness. That's what we mean. V'sab'enu mitu vecha. We're talking directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Writes the Maharshal, the same idea. You should say mitu vecha. Ki hasviya shem izbarach hamazim ibnei me'ayim. Eino tali begidol ha'aretz ala bebirchas Hashem. We're not saying v'sab'enu mitu va, that we should be filled from the produce of the land. We're saying that you, Hashem, should make us feel satisfied. That bracha is only going to come from you. I can eat all I want, but if I don't get satiated, if the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give me that blessing, I'll never feel it. And therefore, that's why we say, V'sab'enu mitu vecha, says the Rosh, because we're referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam. However, the Vilna Gaon writes that there were others who had the practice to say, V'sab'enu mitu va. The Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishneh Berurah discuss both of these different practices. Some say mitu vecha, and some say mitu va. So I saw one of the Achronim writes, maybe this is dependent on the machlokas that we just mentioned about whether or not the Rush says, depending on the community that you're in, maybe we should change v'sein talamater depending on your need. So how does this tie in? Well, it goes as follows. And I think the way I understood it, maybe I'm misunderstanding it, but the way I understood it is as follows. That if you have the understanding that you say Mi tu vecha, means you're referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. If you say Mi tu va, it's referring to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he wants to argue that it's the Rush Lishitaso, the Rush himself who said that we should all do it based on ourselves, based on our own needs and our own community. So therefore, the Rush says you should say Mi tu vecha, because we're referring in this bracha Baruch Aleinu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give our community reign. Therefore, says the Rush, we should say HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless our community, that we should be sustained, that we should be taken care of. And therefore, the Rush writes also that it would make sense that we should say, depending on our community's personal needs, if at one time of year we need it more than at another time of year, we should change our Shemana Esrei and we should say the same Talamata, because after all, we're talking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we are saying, V'sabeinu mitu vecha, we want you to take care of us. However, if you assume that the bracha is V'sabeinu mitu va, that we're referring to Eretz Yisrael, well then it all depends on Eretz Yisrael. Whatever happens there, and whatever they decided then, that's the way it is. Not sure it's 100% correct, but it's an interesting thing to consider, to think about whether or not you can tie in that discussion of mitu vecha or mitu va to this discussion of whether or not the Rush is accepted lahalacha of saying the same talamatra at different times if you are in a community that has different seasons from those that are in Eretz Yisrael or in Bavel in the days that the Gemara describes. So, Amir Tashem.